Item number 16 is from the Interim Director of Family Care, submitting an informational report on the income statement for the period of January 2010 through December 2010 for the care management. This was referred to Health and Human Needs, and Health and Human Needs took no action on this information report.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Chair, County Board Supervisors. Maria Ledger, Interim Director of Department of Family Care. With me is Jim Hodson, our Chief Financial Officer, who will provide you the details with our income statements.
Good afternoon, Chairman and County Board Supervisors. What you have before you is the results of operations for the calendar year 2010. These are the numbers that we will be audited on. Just try to be really brief here. Roughly, we finished the year at a $2,786,000 surplus. I would like to bring to your attention just some footnotes just to let you know for clarity what these numbers represent. For footnote number one, there was some additional revenue that we received through going through the for our members through the expansion process. We went back and looked at the functional screen, and that's a determinant on how we get paid. And we were able to redo the screens and obtain some additional revenue. The accrual estimate in total for the whole year is $5,472,037. What we received for the first two quarters of the year, for the first 6 months, is $2,046,495. And I've had some discussions with Mr. Mansky on this. At the time, we hadn't received any confirmation in the last two quarters, the third and fourth quarter, from the state as to whether our numbers were reflective. And then in light of the budget repair bill that had been released and everything, what we decided to do was initially take a conservative approach in recording 75% of that total revenue of $5.4 million. So what's in the books or in this number right now is about $4.1 million, and there's about a $1.3 million. We'll call it a reserve, an allowance. There was an allowance booked. We have since received some numbers from the state. We are looking at those, and should those confirm our estimates, we'll bring those and discuss those back with the auditors, and if we have to, we can always do a post-closing entry. But at the time, we just didn't want to record any revenues. In the past, this program has had some, this goes back 6 or 7 years, but has had some overstatement of some revenues, so we've taken a very conservative approach. As far as footnotes 2 and 3, the second footnote reflects there was a liability each year for accrued paid time off. And what we've decided, and again, I discussed this with Mr. Mansky, we wanted to do away with that liability. We had some surplus money, so what we have is we took the one-time adjustment and recorded the expense for $415,863. So we should be current with all the accruals in that area. And then the footnote 3 is just a reflection of the cost. There was a $222,200 expense for the relocation from the Royce building to the courthouse for our move. At the time when the budget was done, we were under the impression that move would be would have been reflected in the DAS budget. We weren't told to budget for it, so that would. I'm just pointing out that's the reason for the difference in that line item. You'll see about a $247,000 variance, and $222,000 of it is reflective of the move.
Any questions, Supervisor Joyce?
So that $222,000, does that include changes to the facility when you moved here? I mean, that sounds a little expensive, just moving expenses.
Yeah, it was. It included the actual move. There was some carpeting placed down, building out for some space.
So what is the surplus shown of $379,000?
That's that $379,000 we were actually budgeted to lose money, to not surplus.
And in actuality, you had a $2.7 million surplus?
Revenues exceeding expenditures, correct. One other item, if I may, Chairman, bring to everybody's attention. Within this calendar year, our rates that we received were actually under what the actual expenditures were running. What had happened was Interim Director Ledger and our Chief Operating Officer and Chief Clinical Officer had implemented a new assessment tool for personal care and supportive home care, and we were able to improve utilization of services, which in essence saved $4.9 million in savings during the calendar year 2010. In addition to that, there was also our placement team was instrumental in taking individuals that were located in nursing homes. There was 108 of them, and were able to find a relocation into the community. And on average, we're saving about $950 per month. So that was about another $1.1 million. So I guess what I'm saying is we made some operational changes that didn't really adversely affect our membership, and we were able to save money, which is really the basis of family care, and put people in a community setting and be able to live more independently. So that even with that additional revenue received from the state for that acuity payment, we would have been deficiting if we hadn't made some operational changes. And I don't know if Director Ledger wants to.
Any further questions, Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've given, and I've heard this before because I'm a member of the of the Care Maintenance Organization Governing Board with respect to the clinical director and operational director's adjustments during the year. Did those relate to the manipulation of the spreadsheets? Remember that over the year or so, there's been some tweaking as it relates to the various variables that we've seen from time to time to time. Remember, we started with those documents, it might have been about a year or so ago. Was this something that they came with while they were tweaking those sheets, or is this something that they devised as they were thinking out of the box and just thought that this is, given what the state has been doing to us and given the competition with community care, we think that we should look at the personal care situation and supportive home care situation, and maybe we can have some savings through that, through that review.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Supervisor Johnson, what I think what you're referring to in terms of the assessment of people's needs for supportive home care and personal care, there was a tool that our care managers and nurses were using in order to determine how much assistance someone needed to reside in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What our Chief Operating and Chief Clinical Officer did was look at that existing tool and really apply existing family care policy to it and make sure that what the tool did, when someone was trying to figure out how much assistance somebody needed, the first question they would ask themselves is, if they're living with someone else, how much natural support do they get? How many, if they're living with their son and daughter, what are the things that their family already does for themselves? You know, one would hope that if they're emptying garbage, they're emptying garbage for everyone. So making sure that we maximized those natural supports, that we made some very common sense decisions about the fact that, for instance, you can start to do a load of laundry while it's in. You don't have to stare at it. You can go and wash the floor, and then you can come back and take the laundry out. So it was operationalizing those kinds of changes that, as Mr. Hudson said, don't really impact on the amount of service an individual is getting, because you're still getting these distinct tasks performed on your behalf, but it's a more realistic way of recording the time needed to do them and then seeing that decrease in the amount of time authorized. And it was a fairly big change for care managers, for members and their caregivers to assimilate to. There were, as one would expect, some grievances, but the grievances and appeals that were based because of the changes and how those supportive home care assessments were done peaked and have pretty much diminished back to previous levels. It seems to make sense for people. It's a very practical application of the way the family care model works when it's rolled out in the fashion in which it was intended. So those are the kinds of things that our chief clinical and chief operating officer did in concert with their care management teams and with their education and training group, and bringing a lot of people to the table who had some very firsthand practical knowledge about that particular focus area.
Thank you.
Any further questions? No? Next item.